Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
We're way past big speech time. I want to thank you for the last few months. It's been very special for me. Anybody have anything they want to say?
Yeah. Let's win this and for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
All right, guys, here we are. It is Championship Monday here on Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan. With me is...
Hello, I'm Patrick Foster.
Patrick Foster. And also Bill Mulligan. Hello, Bill.
Good morning.
And Jason Goble. Hello, Jason.
Hello, everybody. It's final day.
It is. There's so much excitement across this great land. For 70s Album Madness Final. It's such a big deal that for a moment today, you won't even be able to see the sun. The sun will have...
Right.
It's a cosmic event for Championship Monday, right?
Okay. That's right.
So, here we are, guys. Let's see. We talked about the Final Four preview, the Final Four albums being... Born to Run, Ziggy Stardust, Led Zeppelin 4, and Sticky Fingers. And now we are down to two after these results. So let me just recap those real quickly, and then we can discuss. All right. So in the first Final Four matchup, David Bowie's Ziggy Stardust defeated Bruce Springsteen's Born to Run 75-47. So, not much of a contest there. And then in the other matchup, the Rolling Stones' Sticky Fingers defeated Led Zeppelin 4 62-51. So neither one of them would you call a squeaker. But I think both albums, you know, got through with pretty solid results. And so I just open the floor up to you guys. What do we think here?
I mean, I'll start with this. And I guess this is more so for the Bowie, though. Stones winning by 11 is pretty impressive, too. I thought, and in fact, I think the last blowout we had was the Who versus the Cars. And I kind of thought at this point the blowouts were done. But the Stones winning handily and Bowie winning overwhelmingly, it makes for... you know, an interesting final in that it's clear, at least between with the Final Four, these are the two that people want to see in the championship.
Bill, did you feel that you had anything to do with Springsteen's loss so convincingly to David Bowie?
Well, I'm not quite sure what the mechanism would be for that, but I am going to stay out of the state of New Jersey for several years. So.
Bill, in my best Robin Williams voice, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. Yeah, Rob Gage just pointed out, by the way, on Facebook that me and Bill were 0-2 in our pick. So if you're betting, maybe
that's right.
Mr. Patty today.
It's a good point. Get in touch with me if you want. We have a little book going on the side. Yeah, just get in touch.
I was going to say, maybe Jason and I are just the George Costanzas of prognostication, and whatever we do, you should do the opposite because our instincts are always completely wrong.
That's right.
So here's my...
Very true.
Here's my thought on maybe why both of these albums have done so well, okay? And it... You know, as I always say, it's easy to handicap things after the fact. But I think part of it is that these two albums don't sound dated. You know, for albums that came out over 50 years ago now.
Yeah.
These two still sound really fresh. Like, you could put them on and, you know, and I think they have an appeal that transcends that that era.
Well, well said.
I guess you could maybe say that with the Springsteen album as well, but probably, but not so much Led Zeppelin. Like, that sounds like a 70s album,
it
right?
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting when I think about putting these records in context as well within the 70s. I think your point is extremely well made, Jim. They don't sound dated, but when you do put them in their historical context, it makes a lot of sense, too, because clearly the Bowie record, it's not the 60s anymore, right? And things have really changed, you know, attitude-wise, and especially in his approach. And he's opening up an entire new lane for multiple bands that dabbled in glam and
right.
theatrical rock and but still having melody and all those things. Whereas Sticky Fingers is really interesting to me, too, because it's definitely signaling the end of the 1960s and saying, you know, this is the hangover record of the whole 60s now. We've got this hangover, and this is what it sounds like, especially when you listen to Moonlight Mile or right. Dead Flowers or any of those songs. You know, that's a testament to their greatness, is the fact that you can historically place them within their time, and they made a lot of sense and were hugely impactful, yet also they still sound fresh outside of that context. So in many ways, maybe the two most representative records, you know, that you can find in this bracket. And it's interesting that they made it there because they qualify. I mean, if my personal favorite, you know, Marquee Moon or Wire's Pink Flag had made it, you could definitely put them in a very similar context. And when you listen to those records, they probably don't tick all those boxes. So it's very interesting. And especially if you look at the records they have knocked out to get there, it's kind of been all over the place. It hasn't been,
right.
you know, them coming up against one kind of album. So having said that, too, I would like to say at this point a big thanks to you, Jim, for the organization and the effort to get all these votes up every day and for putting together, you know, we work together pretty hard on the bracket. I was telling Andy and Dave the other day that we probably spent as much time preparing the getting all the albums lined up and making the picks, you know, as it did to actually do the voting. So
right.
Yeah, but a huge thanks to you for keeping all this going. I know it's been tremendously fun and people have really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it'll be weird. It'll be weird not having to do this at 8 a.m.
Yep.
anymore. I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. I'm going to have to take up model trains or something.
That's right. Anyway. You're going to have to start watching the Detroit Tigers every day.
Oh, I do that anyway. All right. I don't know. Jason, Bill, I don't know. Any other thoughts just, you know, on the appeal of these two records?
I think a couple people commented when Exile was up against Ziggy Stardust, and this is more so as the Sticky Fingers album. You know, the Exile album is great, but yeah, it's longer. Some, I think, even chimed in, could be a little bloated. I just love Sticky Fingers. I think it's just a concise 10 track. You're getting the country rock, you're getting just the, as I said the last time, the gritty rock. And you're getting, you know, like the beauty of a Moonlight Mile at the end of the thing.
Full of
The Bowie, you know, look, it's, again, probably in my opinion, I guess number one is still Dark Side of the Moon in terms of a concept album, but Ziggy Stardust was always like one of my favorite concept albums of all time. And, you know, it's a great story of, you know, basically of, you know, a great story, both for not only the Ziggy Stardust story, but it is the album that made Bowie. So, you know, you got two quintessential artists with two of their best albums ever. And, you know, it's going to be fun watching this and seeing how this plays out. I wasn't expecting the blowouts of the last round, but I can't imagine this one is going to be similar this time.
Yeah, I don't have anything to add that you guys haven't already covered. I'll just say this may not be the matchup we deserve, but it's the matchup we need. So.
And that's a great point about the concept record, too. That's another, you know, besides being pioneering in glam and all those things I mentioned earlier, I think Ziggy is one of the most successful concept records that you can think of, certainly from the 70s. But, you know, it showed how it can be done. And yes, that's a really good point.
I mean, you mentioned glam and stuff like that. That's all very true. I listened to Ziggy Stardust, you know, with modern ears, and I think like, wow, that's like sort of the origins of what became alternative rock. You know, yeah, the stuff we listened to in like, you know, the '80s, the college rock, you know, all that alternative stuff, everything. It feels like, wow, he kind of invented that type, you know, that type of sound, right? I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a really good observation, Jim. It is one of those records where I think a lot of bands have absorbed it and mm-hmm. being really into it, yet they don't necessarily sound, you know, like you wouldn't right. link it normally. And that's a great point with alternative rock. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm an alligator.
And then Sticky Fingers, just kind of to Jason's point, it feels so natural when you listen to it. Yep. That it's almost like, I know, actually, if you go behind the scenes, I think it actually took a lot of effort to put this album together, but man, it doesn't sound like it at all. It just sounds like they just laid these tracks down, and these are songs that just kind of like, you know, just exist.
I totally agree with that, and I think it's also very notable that it's the first post Brian Jones record where there was no, you know, obviously contribution from him, but they Keith and Mick had completely taken control and were moving it, the Stones project, right. the Stones behemoth, into a different realm. And this was the full flowering of it for sure.
That's right. Was this also their first album on their own label?
I believe that's correct.
Yeah. So they had sort of a new creative freedom as well.
Yep. That is correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
You're right. It was sort of like, you know, to use a term people use today, it was almost like kind of a reboot of the Rolling Stones, right?
Yeah. Exactly right. And it's fascinating, too, historically, that they recorded some of it at Muscle Shoals and some in London and, you know, did the mixing in L.A. And it's a very global kind of record.
Very cool. All right. All right. So the voting is today. That is today, Monday, April 8th. Go to facebook.com/suburbspod. I mean, if you don't know this by now, there's really no point. I mean, come on. If you haven't been participating in this thing, it's been going on for 2 months. So, but anyway, that's where you go if you want to vote in the championship. And what an epic matchup it is. So how do you guys see this shaking out? I don't know. I have a thought. I guess I'll make a prediction at the end. But what do you guys think? Bowie or Stones?
Well, I'm going to go with this, and it's other to kind of go a step further from what Tim Hoffman said on Facebook yesterday. I think on Rocking the Suburbs Pod fan page, he had said, okay, we maybe missed a golden opportunity by not putting Dark Side of the Moon in, as today is Eclipse Day, and, you know, that having been said, I guess if you're going to have an album that kind of looks out to the stars or the sky, you know what? Saw an album that talks about the Starman. I think it's good karma for Bowie. And and in light of the fact they had the bigger margin as well, he had the biggest margin as well, I think Ziggy and the Spiders are going to take it.
Well, I think I'm going to go with the Stones, mainly so your two expert analysts get at least one pick right in the final two rounds.
I love it.
All right.
I just think the Stones have that kind of feeling about them that they're going to get there, but, you know, not quite pull it off. It just feels like Bowie's got the magical run going. I'm going to go with Jason and I think Bowie will squeak it out. I do.
All right. So Bill, you will have the opportunity to be either the only one right or the only one wrong because, I think it's going to be Bowie. I look back and I see that the albums that Ziggy Stardust has defeated, you know, Exile on Main Street was one, Who's Next was another one. I would not have predicted this when the whole thing started, but man, I really feel the Bowie love in these votes from the community. So I think it's going to be Bowie, but we will see. This is democracy in action.
Yes.
All right.
We're going to find out. Rock and roll democracy action.
All right. Sounds good. All right, guys. So we will reconvene again after the votes are in, and then we will adjust our picks accordingly. All right.
That's correct. We'll re-edit this episode if needed.
All right. All right. Let's get out of here. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
I'm Bill Mulligan.
And I'm Jason Goble.
All right. We'll talk to you all later.
Sweet.
Can I try one thing before we call this one and send it to the archives? So yesterday, Stephen Rutledge on Facebook posted that this whole 3 months have been a sham, and On the Beach actually won the 70s album. I questioned my life choices over the last couple of months, and Stephen cheered me up by comparing me to a certain announcer. So here's my attempt for the thousands in attendance and for the millions watching at home. Let's get ready to rock the suburbs.
Excellent job. Excellent job.
Well done, sir. Well done.